Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, along with my co-host, Elder David Clifton, and it is good for us to be here on another session, getting into the enriched Word of God. There's nothing like the Word of God. And we thank God that we've been able to, like James said, look into the perfect law of liberty and not being a forgetful hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. Like James says, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We're endeavoring to let you know that there is one God, there is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one baptism. There's one God who is Father of all, who's above all, He's through all, and He's in us all. We thank God that everybody don't know who Jesus is, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We thank God for that. And so we are going to start off with our food for thought. We're going to give you to Elder David Clifton to do his food for thought.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And just kind of when I was listening to you and you was, you know, talking about James, and he said that we ought to be not only hearers but doers of the word. And I think that is, I know it's very important, but it's an element that I think a lot of people are missing. And I come across a lot of people in my day-to-day life that know the Bible. You know, they know the scriptures. They can quote the scriptures. They can give you book, chapter, and verse. And that means that they have heard the word. And some of them even, you know, they read it and they study it. But, you know, as you said earlier, Elder Cannon, is we also have to be doers. And that's where we are lacking at. And it's just bringing my mind to the 24th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, and I'll just lift up a couple of scriptures here, and starting at verse number 34, Jesus says, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." And just remember, this is when the apostles were asking Jesus, you know, they're asking him questions about, you know, when his coming, when was his coming, or when was the end of the world, when was the sign of thy coming, and you know, Jesus was going on and he was answering these questions, and he goes on into verse number 35 and says, "Heaven and earth shall not pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And I just think that that's a sad story. If we go back and we know that they say Noah preached anywhere from 100 to 120 years, that a flood was coming. And It had been no rain on the earth in those days, so those people thought that that preacher Noah was out of his mind. You know, he's building this big ark, and he's saying the flood's coming, and people are, you know, they're probably mocking him. And as it said, that they were just marrying and drinking, and, you know, they were just living it up. And, you know, one day the Lord broke up the earth. He broke up the foundations, and rain came not only from the sky, but it came up from up under. We know the story that God destroyed the earth because of man's wickedness in that day. And we, as preachers in this day and age, we're preaching that the rapture is soon to come. And again, it's an event that has not yet taken place, so there's people that are mocking us. There's people that don't really believe this. And what I'm saying here is we need to be hearers in this case, and after we hear, we need to do. We need to prepare ourselves so that we can be rapture ready, so that we could, in a sense, enter into that ark like Noah did, because the word is going to come to pass. So I'm just encouraging you all of you that do attend church, get yourself ready. You know, it's not a getting ready, but it's a being ready thing over here. So just know that the Lord is not slack concerning his coming. He is going to come back for his church. And just as they were doing in the days of Noah, they're doing it in this day and age. So we have to see that, if you will, as a prelude of things to come. Amen?
Yes. Yeah, we can see all the signs of the coming of the Lord are coming to pass. So we thank God for that. And I was just thinking when you read the scripture earlier about people knowing the Bible and they folks knowing the letter of the word anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But Isaiah said here in when Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Rome in the 10th chapter, and he says, "But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went out into all the earth, and their words were unto the ends of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, did not Israel know first? Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he said, all day long have I stretched forth my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people."
Mm-hmm.
But the point being, folks know that who Jesus is. Most people know that he was not just an ordinary man, and folks are trying to mock him. And I saw a thing on the world news yet last evening on these preachers had a dark secret. They said, it's not what you think it is. And these people don't believe the word of God.
Mm.
These pastors.
Pastor.
And they don't want to tell. And then so one was saying he doesn't have a way to make a living for his family, but he don't want to tell people he doesn't believe in what God says. So he's just preaching about love and all things that he has doubt and all about. He's not preaching about that. But the Bible lets us know about that. The worst sin in the whole wide world is unbelief.
Wow.
And that's why they couldn't enter in, because of unbelief. So I'm not shocked. There's agnostics. There's atheists. There's all kinds of people. He said the fearful and the unbelieving are going to have their part, which burneth in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which
mm-hmm.
is the second death.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to fear. So we don't have to have that kind of fear. Oh, we don't believe him, but what God wants us to have is reverential fear. We reverence him.
Yes.
Because of who he is.
Yes.
That's the fear that we should have. Not go off, not believing, and you're supposed to be a pastor. Why did they even contact the news media to tell them that?
Wow.
That was ridiculous.
So again, that's just an example of men living off of the occupation, if you will,
yeah.
of a pastor. They're not even believing some of the stuff that they're preaching.
Right.
And as we said before, this is one of the reasons that those that fall up under the umbrella of Christianity are so confused. Because you have people setting themselves up before the people of God, but they haven't been called into that position.
Right, right.
That's a sad thing.
Right, they don't even know who God is in the first place, because it's a nominal church.
Wow.
About three of them. They had them, like, silhouetted off, their voices disguised so people wouldn't know who they were.
Still hiding their identity from the congregation.
Yeah, but, I mean, why would you go tell somebody in the world, even if you were a man of God, why would you go tell the media that You got a dark secret.
Yeah.
You don't believe God. You don't even believe there is a God.
And that's something I was talking to some friends with the other day, and it's a shame that that gives people that don't believe in Jesus Christ, it gives them a little bit more confidence in their unbelief in Christ. And we can say this over the airways because we talk about the truth. A lot of times you have these people that go on Oprah Winfrey show,
mm-hmm.
and these are known to the world, these great Christian people, and then they go, and what they really do is they confess all their faults to this woman.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the way to salvation. She's not a Christianity. She
right.
comes up with this new thing she's got going on, and you go and you confess all your faults and your sins to her. Over the airways,
exposing it to the whole world.
To the whole world, and that in itself is out of order.
Right.
And then it shows her, or it gives her, like I said, a little bit more confidence in her disbelief because she's looking and saying, well, look at your little bitty guy.
Right.
He let you go through all this, and we don't see the hurt sometimes that we're doing in some of the actions that we take.
Right, right. So that's why, like the Bible says, and that's why even we wrote earlier in the third chapter of Romans, in the third verse, it says, and what if some did not believe? And he goes on to say, shall their unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? And he goes on to say, God forbid.
God forbid.
God is still a faithful God, so it matters not who don't believe. But what we are endeavoring to do is just like our label that we have, and we're labeled as truth, and that's what we're endeavoring to do. And even as those Jackson family who were on there, Michael Jackson's mother and father, and were on there talking to Oprah, and she's asking them that he beat his children. Well, I have not, and then even on this other ABC network called The View, when they were talking about people chastising their children, I haven't heard anybody. I was looking for somebody to say. They keep talking about, well, this is a certain group of people. This is the way they raise their children. They're old school. Instead of, no one said that this is biblical. The Bible said if you beat your child with the rod, they won't die. And the Bible talks about God chasing your child betimes, which means right away.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll save his soul from hell. Our hearts are bound for foolishness. But the Bible said the rod of correction will drive it far from it. So we're not talking about abusing. We're talking about chastisement.
Yes.
And God is known as a chastiser. And the Bible said, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth.
Yes.
And he scourgeth every son whom he received. He goes on to say, if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons.
Uh-huh.
And he goes on to say, about we have fathers that of our flesh who chastise us. Shall we not be subject to the Father of spirits and live? So it's just giving us an example. So I'm glad I got tore up,
That's right.
Because if you don't chastise your child, they get out there and that police are going to billy club them.
That's right.
They're going to beat them. Then something else I thought about. The slave masters beat the slaves.
That's right.
So they can get them to do what they want them to
That's
do.
That's right.
Beat them into subjection.
That's right.
So, you know, you can't just talk to a child, but you have to chastise them. Even our little grands, we let them know, don't do that. We chastise them. We don't beat them. We don't hurt them. We don't abuse them. So it's biblical.
Yes,
it is. These jellyback people scared to say, I'm not scared to say, it's biblical. I got tore up, and I'm glad I got tore up. And I'm glad, and even as much as I got tore up, I still did some crazy stuff that my father didn't find out about.
That's right. That's right.
So I thank God. The word of God is right. It is definitely right. It's not something that people made up.
That's right.
Chastising a child. You can't, that's like a devil. You can't reason with a devil. You got to cast him out. So a child has to be told what is right. It has to be disciplined. So we're going to move on today, and we want to, we don't have too many chapters left, but we want to get into the 12th chapter of the book of Romans on today. And this chapter demonstrates how we should live, we should walk, live in this body and in this present world and in the body that we're living in right now.
Amen.
So we're going to get started and we're just going to move on along. And Apostle Paul says, I beseech you or I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Yes.
So this is what God is looking for. He's not, you can't just, that goes, there goes the notion of these people talking about grace and covering up stuff, but you got to live right. You can't be hiding, because God is looking at, because we're in the body of Christ, and he's the head, and the church is his body.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants his body to be clean, his body to be holy. Like Apostle Paul said, the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. As we're going to see as we go on, he's in 1 Corinthians, he says, come out from among them, touch not the unclean thing, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing, I'll receive you, and I'll be your, you'll be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So we can't just live any kind of way. And that's the thing, it makes us different as children of God, because our morals, we're morally clean. We're not just clean just because what you see, but we're not slipping and tipping, going out doing stuff.
That's right.
God is looking at us.
That's right.
That's what some people don't realize. You going slipping to have a drink or whatever. Well, if you get you receive the Holy Ghost and be baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus, like what we're telling you about, you truly are saved with the Holy Spirit of promise. That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, like they received on the day of Pentecost and all through the Book of Acts, and like we received, speaking in other tongues and other languages, as the Spirit gives you what to utter, then you will be clean too.
That's right.
You won't have a desire to be going to get some Johnny Walker Red or Black or some all of this other stuff that we used to drink,
uh-huh.
That rum and all of these different things, Wild Irish Rose and all that. You won't want it, and that, you know, Versace's beer and all this different stuff that these people are talking about. But you won't have no desire. That's the thing about being born again.
Uh-huh.
You don't have a desire for these things. He goes on to say, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I mean, you need to get your mind washed too, so you'll do right. We're not just trying to please a man, but we want to please the man. That is the man, Christ Jesus. That's why we were renewed in our mind.
Yes, and you know, just speaking, going back on that that sacrifice, and it's not any type of sacrifice, but it's supposed to be holy,
yes,
and acceptable unto God. So that means that there is a way that we should be presenting ourselves. This is not, you know, for those that can go out, like you say, and they doing all this partying on Saturday night and drinking whatever they drinking and smoking whatever they smoke, and they act any old way during the week. Then they come to church on Sundays, and they think that this is an honorable service, if you will, to God, as though God is accepting this, or that they believe that God is accepting some of the prayers that they're throwing up. And it just brings my mind back to the story of Cain and Abel,
mm-hmm.
and how it says that, you know, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And we know the story goes on that Cain was so upset and he killed his brother. But it was about the sacrifice.
Yeah.
And God did not accept Cain's sacrifice. Cain did it his way. He gave God what he thought was good to God. But there is a way that we should be presenting ourselves, and that way is explained in the Word of God.
Yeah.
If you're not presenting yourself according to the Scriptures, then just as God was upset with Cain's offering, he'll be upset with yours, and he'll be wroth with you just like he did Cain's. Amen?
Right, right. And that's the thing, like even when the Lord, you go back to the example, when the Lord chose David to be king,
mm-hmm.
All the other sons passed by. And then, so anyway, they thought, like, man, he's a little ruddy one. He's out with the sheep. He was the one. He said, you got another son here, the prophet Samuel, when he came. So when he, and so anyway, he says, he went on, the writer that wrote says, man looks on the outward appearance, but in that particular scripture, he said, the Lord looks on the heart. So God knew that he looked on David's heart. He knew that was the man, as he said, he got him a man after his own heart. And one thing about David, he did a lot of things. He was a man of war and everything, but he only believed in one God.
That's right.
And that's what God is looking at. We can't, you know, he said, don't have no other gods before me. And David, he did not believe. He knew that there was only one God. And so this is why Apostle Paul goes on to say, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For we all have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. But I would like to just stop there for a little bit, and that lets you know, like I refer back to deception, about people being deceived, mm-hmm. and about Jesus saying, take heed that no man deceive you. And then we know, like when Peter was saying about to feed the flock of God, he was talking about the leaders, taking the oversight, not by constraint, but of a ready mind, mm-hmm. you know, not for filthy lucre. So you can't, and another very important thing, not as being lords over God's heritage.
Yes.
Some folks want to be commanders and commanding folks what to do, telling people what to do, and they're dirty themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Just like what we were saying about what I saw, these people that stop believing God, they're not really true leaders, no way.
That's right.
But there are too many, but you can't get full of yourself. Doesn't matter who you are. So that just throws a death lick into everyone's title. Doesn't matter who you are. If you're not doing what God said, and if you're dirty, you don't mean nothing to God.
That's right.
God wants a clean heart, a pure soul. You know, so that's why David said, create in the 51st Psalm was a confession when he of David. He said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. So all those things that he was mentioning about in the 51st Psalm, that's what God desires. Truth in the inward parts.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be right. You can't be slipping and hiding. You the man of God. You dirty and your group of folks know about you or whatever. It doesn't matter who you are. Or if you're a preacher and you ain't right in the church, you fooling yourself.
That's right.
Because God looking at you. So we got to be right. And it doesn't matter if you usher or whoever you are. you don't have no title. You in there seeing what you could do and slipping and sliding and peeping and hiding, God see you.
That's right.
It don't matter who you are.
That's right.
God is no respecter of persons, just like Peter said. But he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. So take that away. If you don't fear him, you don't work righteousness, you're not accepted with him. So we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, every one members one of another. So that's it. We got to have care for one another. I mean, and so if somebody is, and if I'm wrong and I'm off and I'm not doing right, then somebody ought to stand up to me and tell me, you
that's
need
right.
to get right.
That's right.
It don't matter. God, it matters not to God what your title is. You ain't going, as the old people said, nowhere. When the Lord come to get his church and you're dirty and you ain't got no intentions, you think you could hide it, you haven't came clean, got yourself right, if you need to confess and to get yourself right and you haven't done that,
mm-hmm.
you'll be right here
that's
when
right.
the Lord come to get the church and wondering why you didn't make it. You'd be like one of the five foolish virgins.
That's right. And that's a problem I think that we have, Elder, is people are going to make mistakes here and there. That's just a part of the imperfections, if you will,
mm-hmm.
of humanity.
Yes.
But as you said, if you see me wrong, come to me.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. Pray with me about it, or pray for me instead of just seeing me. You see I'm in sin, and instead of doing something that would benefit my soul, you know how people get into church, and this is why a lot of folk in the world don't want to come into the church, because they say people in the church, they gossip too much.
Mm.
They talk about me too much. Well, that is not the Christian way, amen, because we are a part of the same body. And if I'm sitting here and I'm seeing, you know, my finger is just bleeding, you know, blood is gushing out, I'm not going to turn my head as though I don't see it.
Right.
I'm going to cover up my finger. I'm going to care for that finger because that's a part of my body.
Yeah.
And that's how the body of Christ should operate. When you see your brother and your sister going through something, you should come to their aid and try to assist them to get out of whatever's troubling them instead of ignoring it or talking about it, amen, because
right.
we're out of order if we do it that
right,
way.
Right, right. So that's not love. Like John says, this then is the message which you have, we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all.
Mm-hmm.
We say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, that's talking about somebody who has sin. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And that is, if you do have sin, you know what you've done. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So that is, you know, we know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So just the fact that you want to be right, it doesn't matter who you are. You're dirty. You need to come. You need to get yourself clean. We got to know, as people of God, your heart can't even fool you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the scripture says in 1 John. I'll find it. So even we can't fool our own self, we shouldn't even want to. But 1 John 3:20 says, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God.
Mm-hmm.
Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So that's saying a whole lot right there. So you won't be condemned. You don't have to be condemned if you're clean and if you're walking right.
And that's just, you know, thinking of the story of David, you know, when he, you know, got caught up in that scandal, if you will, with Bathsheba.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is King David.
Yeah.
This is, you know, as people say, I'm the pastor, I'm the bishop.
Mm-hmm.
And you get caught in something. Now, when the prophet went to him and told him what was going on, now he gave him a parable, and I do believe Elder Ken is going to find this for us. He gave him a parable about a man having a lot of goods, and he went to this man that only had one little ewe lamb, and he took it. So David was wroth with this man, and he said that he ought to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the prophet Nathan told him, he said, well, this man is you. Now, King David didn't rebuke this man because he's the king and tell him, you can't come tell me what kind of sin I'm in. You know, I am the pastor. You can't talk to me that way. See, sometimes when God sends correction, he'll send it however he wants.
Mm-hmm.
King David accepted that correction once he found out that God was shining a light on him. And he did what? He came clean.
Right.
Amen.
Exactly. And so that's the story. It's in 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, one rich, the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished it up, and it grew up together with him, with his children. It did eat with his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said unto Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die.
Mm-hmm.
And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus said the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house, thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had not been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore, as thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight, thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, hast taken his wife to be thy wife, thou hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thy own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born under thee shall surely die.
Mm-hmm.
And Nathan departed into his own house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. So we know we go on, the story is that the child did die.
That's right.
But then he took Bathsheba to be his wife, and he comforted his wife, went in unto her, lay with her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. That's 2 Samuel 12 and 24. So you got to do it God's way.
That's right.
So that was great grief that he bought. But he said that the sword is not going to depart out of your house because you caused the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. So we know his sons were after him, trying to destroy him.
Uh-huh.
His son raped his daughter, just all kinds of things. Like the Bible said, before David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, his last words, he said, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God.
Right.
So before he went to sleep, and that was one man that was glad to go to sleep.
Yes. And that just shows you that you will
reap what you sow. Yeah.
Now we know that God was with David.
Yes.
And David is going to sit on the throne.
Yes.
We know that in time to come, but he still had to reap what he sowed, and that's why we have to be careful. So in one sense, it's good that King David did come clean after he was very judgmental, and that's why also in that story you see the men of God, they have to be careful in the way that they judge certain situations, because you never know when something like that can come onto you. So you have to be careful as the man of God when you're judging people. But it's good, you know, that he did, as you say a lot of times, he came clean.
Yes.
That's the point. You know, he did fall, he got in trouble, but the brother, he came clean after that. But he still, after you said, after you read the story of David, you see his sons came up after him and they were trying to kill him. We know the trouble that he had with Saul. King David had a lot of trouble in his life. Now, we know that mercy and grace was with him.
Yeah.
But that trouble, a lot of that trouble was because of his actions.
Yes.
So that is the moral of the story. Now, if you don't want to reap of the flesh, as the Bible says,
so the flesh you reap corruption.
That's right. If you don't want to do that, then you got to live right. You can't. Don't do it.
Exactly. And then you can't. And so no one's looking down. Just like the Bible talks about restoration, he said, "Ye which are spiritual, if any man be overtaken in a fault," in the book of Galatians, "ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourselves, lest ye also be tempted."
Right.
So we're not doing that. And he even goes on to say, "Every man bear his own burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Then also in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, The 12th verse, he says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." So we're going to be tempted. We're going to be tried.
That's right.
So we know what that is. We're not saying, what? When we're tempted.
Right.
We know what it is.
That was a good message.
Yeah.
I preached that. That one's been sticking with me because a lot of times that's what saints will do when something comes up.
Yeah.
They act surprised as though these things are not supposed to happen.
Right.
It's a part of your Christian walk.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if you stay in the Word and you continue to present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable God, if you stay in the Word, you will learn how to battle or escape those temptations when they do come your way. Because as you just read, there is a way of escape.
Yes.
But if you don't know the Word, if you're not spiritually in tune, you won't be able to make an escape, and you'll find yourself caught up in sin, and in some cases, it can overtake you.
Yeah, that's what they said. They had that song says, "Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin."
Uh-huh.
"Each victory will help you some other to win." You know, fight manfully onward, on a passion subdued, look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. So you know he brought you through before, he'll bring you through again.
Amen.
So we are been here, going here in the 12th chapter of Romans. I believe we read this. "We have many members in one body. All members have not the same office."
That's right.
"So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Just like we were saying about, you love me, you need to rebuke me. If I'm dirty, I'm going on trying to act like I'm wrong. You know, that's why we should have influence with people and have fellowship with people. Then we can, you can't just go up to somebody and talk to them any kind of way. You don't know them.
That's right.
You know somebody, you can. So then he goes on to say, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, wherefore prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love, in honor, prefer one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So much, you know, in the body of Christ. So you can't be selfish. And I've said this, a selfish man can't be married.
Nah.
He's just thinking about himself.
You're not gonna make
His wife's going to look terrible, and the kids, too.
That's right.
The children. It's not about you. You're the last one, really. Actually, in reality, it's supposed to be the mother first, or the wife, then the children. But a good mother, she's not going to make herself first. She's going to make the children first, you know. So you can't be selfish. So even in the body of Christ, you can't be a selfish person. So people keep talking about the preachers just want all the money. No, he don't. If he's really a man of God, he don't. He want to give. And if you really are a person of faith and you want to be in the will of God and do what God says do, you don't want to see no one deceived.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely want to help your brothers and sisters.
Amen.
You want to help somebody else to receive what you have. We used to do that before we got saved. We got some good weed or whatever. We wanted people to know about it.
You tell them about
I got the bomb,
And you tell them where you got it from.
Yeah.
But see, now when we get the truth of God, we should be doing
the same thing. Yeah, even more so. Not be ashamed.
Uh-huh.
That's what Apostle Paul would say. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God under salvation.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not ashamed. You know, this ain't some stuff we read, you know, honorable whoever. No. Our mighty God that we're talking about,
Amen.
You know, he declared the end from the beginning.
That's right.
So he goes on to say, distributing to the necessity of saints, giving the hospitality, bless them which persecute you, and bless and curse not. So by the grace of God, we're able to do these things. You know, we got to grow up in him who is the head of all things, even Christ. Apostle Paul is saying in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, so what it is, we got to mature. We ain't starting off walking right, you know. Everything, every test that we do, or the right attitude and everything, we have to grow. Just like children, they got to learn how to not be selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Little children say, give him some, give her some. Don't take it all. By nature, the Bible said we were children of wrath. You ain't got to teach somebody to be mean and to defend themselves and all that. That's in them. to be rebellious.
You know, and I was just talking earlier today, you know, with my wife about that. I have a 2-year-old. Now, he doesn't know the difference between right and wrong in a lot of situations. And, you know, there was a situation going on at home, and he had brought some things out, some of his toys out of the room. So I asked him, I said, you know, son, you need to take that back into your room. He says, I don't want to. I said, well, who brought it out? He goes to say that his brother did it. Now, let me remind you, his baby brother is only 9 months old, so I know he didn't bring the toys out. My point is, he lied to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe he doesn't understand that at that age, but you don't have to teach people how to do wrong. Like you said, it's in them. It's part of their nature. Sin is part of our nature once we're born. What we do have to do is teach people how to live right. We have to teach people how not to sin. We have to teach people how to come out of sin. We have to teach people about salvation and how to be saved. So that is, you know, another reason that we're doing this. But to do good is not in us at birth.
No.
And that process in itself, I mean, if you think about it, you have a lot of work on your hand as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
So think of the work that the church has to do and getting this message out to the world, because that's what we are trying to do. We are trying to present this gospel as ministers to the world, and we're trying to tell them that the way that you're going is not the right way, and we have to find a good way and an intelligent way of calling them out of things, that they are in. And I just want, if we could, just go back to verse number 7 of chapter 12. Actually, back up to 6, the latter end. He says, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith or ministry. Here's the key. Let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teaches, we have to go back and say, let us wait on our teaching.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that's not happening, elders. Some are not waiting, or some are not maturing or being perfect in Christ. And what happens is, once someone has truly been called by God, they want to go out right away and start preaching it and start teaching. But you have to, there's a time period where you have to sit, you have to be taught yourself. And just as when David was anointed to be king by Samuel, he still had to wait until his time came. And when we are called into the ministry, you are called that anointing. You are anointed there, but you have to wait for your time to come before you begin to operate. And that is another reason, and we keep saying this, but this is a reason you have so many people out there lost, because you have men and women that are operating out of order, and they're not presenting the gospel in a proper manner, because they have not matured in Christ. They have not grown up in Christ. They're still babes.
Right.
Amen.
They don't understand themselves. They haven't been taught. That's why he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So they knew who the name. There was only one name, and that is the name of Jesus. And he goes on to say, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to, and then so we look at the pastoral epistles that Timothy wrote, Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and to Titus, and Peter got a pastoral general epistle, and he deals with leaders also.
That's right.
So you got to, you can't teach what you don't know. And even in the book of Galatians, Apostle Paul went to Jerusalem after his conversion, and he withstood Peter to the face because he was to be blamed because of some of his attitude that he had toward Gentiles, and he was to be blamed. So everybody's got to be on the same page. And Peter was saved. Peter was the man. He was the spokesman. He's the man, had the keys. He had the power and the authority.
Mm-hmm.
He got rebuked by the Apostle Paul, but that's just the way it is.
That's right.
You're out of order. He had to get him. He was carried away with their dissimulation. Apostle Paul had to get him straight.
That's right.
So it doesn't matter. You know what you know. He knew the order of God.
Yes.
He had to get Apostle Peter straight. And Apostle Peter was a good man. He had a good heart.
That's right.
He spoke. He didn't bite his tongue, as we would say.
That's right.
But he was a man. He was a man of order. And he didn't wear his feelings on his sleeve. He said what he thought. And so we thank God for that. And so the answer is just like it was back in the days of Moses, the greatest prophet that ever lived, and the answer was in the Word of God, and the answer is in the Word of God for us on today.
That's right.
So that's why he goes on to say, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend of men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. So we can see, just like right now, all the hypocritical things that are going on in our government, and they keep talking about government to be smaller. Well, if it's going to be smaller, why you want to go to Washington, D.C.?
Right.
You know? I mean, some things are so hypocritical. But just the fact that one thing is said that the Lord said, and that is true. And he said, you're not going to have me with you always, but you're going to have the poor with you always. So people, there's just too many people that don't have compassion on the poor. They got estates for their families down through the years. And so they ain't worried about it. They want to get rid of things that are helping people, like Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and all that. They don't need it. They making plenty of money.
That's right.
So that's selfish. So we can see folks are going to have to answer to God. There's no sense in some people couldn't even couldn't get a good meal and couldn't have a place to stay, a decent place to stay to lay their head. And so somebody's going to answer for all of that. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceable with all men.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. We ought to have righteous indignation. There's some things we ought to be angry about. And it's a shame, shameful. That, you know, they ought to, folks ought to at least, it's like somebody was saying, they'd be glad to get food stamps because it's so much of your income is going on food.
That's right.
So it's, you know, the world that we're living in, and people are not doing things honest before men. So that's the part that is bad of it. And some folks still won't come clean about things that are happening. Just like it was said, they found out during the Iraq War that there were no weapons of mass destruction. Well, they kind of knew, you know. Then I heard the former president on that show yesterday saying that he's blaming it on Saddam Hussein. It's his fault. He made us think that we had weapons of mass destruction.
Blame it on the dead man.
Right.
Instead of coming clean.
Mm-hmm. You went over there, you thought he had them, or one of your men said he's out of the box. You wanted to make war. You won't come clean, but somebody's going to answer for those better than 4,000 people who they didn't give their lives. They volunteered for that cause.
Uh-huh.
You know, just like they keep saying, only one man came to die and gave his life, and he said, no man take my life. That was the Lord Jesus Christ himself.
That's right.
He said in the 10th chapter of St. John, no man take my life. I'm the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. We keep saying, and it's a play with words where people say, King gave his life. No, he didn't. He wanted to live. He didn't give his life. They took his life.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Like I said, only one man gave his life.
That's right.
And so
that was his purpose. And that was his purpose for coming.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you could talk to one person in their right mind on this earth that says that they are looking forward to or want to die or that they were born to die.
Right.
So, you know, that is a very good point, you know, that you just brought out, that was the reason that Christ or the Christ came, was to give his life. Amen.
Right.
And even in that, the flesh did not want to yield to the spirit. So that goes on to show you the struggle, if you will, that we are going to have as saints, you know, the flesh and the spirit battling back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But as we'll read down here just in a moment here, I don't want to say that was evil in Christ, if you will, but the desire for him not to go, he had to overcome that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what Apostle Paul is saying here, and I can just read it here real quick,
mm-hmm.
Verse 21, where he says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's, something that I think a lot of us struggle with. And actually, just let me go back up and let me finish
mm-hmm.
the chapter. He says,
mm-hmm.
Verse number 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And here's the thing, pride, especially as
mm-hmm.
men, pride will get in the way, and when someone does something wrong to you, immediately you want to repay them, if you will, with the
mm-hmm.
evil. You want an eye for an eye or tooth for a tooth. We're not living in those days anymore,
right.
And that's one way that we can get ourselves caught up in trouble, is letting pride, if you will,
mm-hmm.
overtake our conscience, and we want to overcome evil by evil instead of letting good
mm-hmm.
Overtake or overdo the evil that is present within us. And again, if we go back to the beginning of the chapter where he says, I beseech you, or I'm begging you, or I'm beckoning you, brothers, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. If we could keep that in our mind,
mm-hmm.
I think throughout a day-to-day process, it would help us to live right. Amen?
Right. Just like you're saying, we were talking about people giving their life and who came to die. In the fifth chapter, we've already been over this, but seventh verse, he said, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man would some even dare to die."
Mm-hmm.
So ain't nobody giving their life, but God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we know he came to die, and he was our great high priest. And the Bible says, and the Hebrew writer says, he being tempted himself as able, he's able to succor them that are tempted. And that word succor means to help. So, sure, we can't go on the way we feel. And there's nothing wrong with our feelings. But the way we feel is not it. That's our surroundings. You know, just like he said, the spirit is indeed willing,
mm-hmm.
but the flesh is weak. Because what if the Lord comes when we're tired? As far as that part goes, he's going to come in a day, in an hour, when we think not.
That's right.
So it doesn't matter about our flesh and how we feel. So this is definitely... you read that last verse?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we got to be, we can't, like they did, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He said, it has been said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But the words that Jesus said changed all that. He said, but I say.
Yes.
That changed it.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So it's the attitude that we have,
mm-hmm.
when he said, but I say. So he makes a difference. And we know that he didn't come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill the law. He got to the bottom of it. It's like we say, they keep talking about some things people are scared to talk about. And they, for instance, and just like all these things that are going on now, got people committing suicide because they're getting bullied and all that. That's not the answer to it. Just like women are getting abortions.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, that abortion is not the problem. They're getting pregnant, and most married women don't go out and get pregnant and want to kill it. So
right.
You got to get to the root of the problem.
That's right.
That's what Jesus said. That's when he said about people looking on a woman. If you look on a woman to lust after her, he says you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. So the key is, he said, if you look on her to lust after her,
because
mm-hmm. we're not blind. We're not. I told somebody years ago that I'm not bionic and I'm not blind.
That's right.
You know,
that's
they thought
right.
they had me. I'm not crazy. I'm not going to close my eyes. You know, I can see. But it's the fact that your heart got to be right.
That's right.
I can see very well. I know purple and red and yellow and green. I can tell colors and read and all that, too.
And
I ain't crazy.
You know the difference between attractive and unattractive.
Exactly.
But as you said, your attitude has to be right, because there's
mm-hmm.
going to be beautiful women that come by you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's how you react to those things that are set, amen, before you. And as you were, you know, you were speaking on, abortions and all these things going on, and now you have these things that I've been seeing where these people that are getting caught up in these homosexual acts, they're getting busted and now they're embarrassed, so they go and they kill themselves. Well, that ought to show you something there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any straight person that has got caught up in any type of sexual accident and went ahead and killed themselves, because there's nothing wrong with being straight.
Mm-hmm.
Why would a homosexual person go and commit suicide because they got busted being a homosexual? And it all goes back to, as you said, people not living in the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to do things according to the word, not having premarital sex, then you wouldn't have all this, you know, in the world. You got your baby mama drama, as they say.
Right.
You know, the father of your children and the mother of your children. You got all this confusion going on. It's because you didn't do things the way that God prescribed. And even if you do that in the world and you have a child out of wedlock and then you get saved and you get married and you're living a life according to God's word, you're still going to be reaping what you sowed in the world. But
right.
If we were to do what God has called us to do, a lot of this confusion, a lot of this hate and anger towards people, we would not be experiencing it. Amen?
Right, because if we walk with God, that's one good thing about God. And that word but makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
For the wages of sin is death, but
yes.
The gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I was going to say here in the book of Peter, the first chapter, in the 22nd verse, he says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. This is kind of correlating right in what he was talking about, doing good and all. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever.
Mm-hmm.
This is the part I want to get to. For all flesh is as grass.
Yes.
All the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of our Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So we know that the glory of the grass is going to fade away.
Mm-hmm.
And even people, even us, we are really, we're all skeletons.
That's right.
And I ask the question, have you ever seen a pretty skeleton?
That's right.
They all look the same.
That's right.
That meat and everything go off. So, that, you know, we got a soul that needs to be saved. Everyone does. And we know that the flesh is going to go back to the dust. The spirit is going to go back to God that gave it, and our soul is going to spend eternity somewhere.
That's right.
So, you know, if I used to tell the people in prison, when they used to say, hell yes, or hell yeah, the proper street people, then I used to tell them, nobody want to go to hell. And because I think Matthew 25 and 41 says that hell was created for the devil and his angels.
That's right.
Nobody in their right mind want to go to hell.
Mm-mm.
Nobody. So that doesn't even make sense. So thank God. And nobody's making us do right, but we want to do right.
That's right.
Because we've been born again. We want to please our Father. You got to know who you are. And Peter said, we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him
mm-hmm.
who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You think about it, even in the royal line, Princess Diana's sons, Prince Harry and the other prince, they don't want to do things to shame their family. They're just folks on earth.
That's right.
You know, in a royal line, how much more us as people of God? I don't want to be, yeah, you remember what somebody knew me before I got saved. Yeah, I remember, yeah, I do too.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a sinner, but now I'm a son of God.
That's right.
I'm not a recovering sinner.
Uh-huh.
I'm a child of God. I got the victory.
That's right.
There is no monkey on my back. He's off of my back.
That's right.
You can walk with God. You've been born again. You have power. And this is why God, the Lord let them know that they had to go tarry in the city of Jerusalem and wait until they be endued with power from on high. He led them out as far as Bethany and blessed them. And, you know, he stepped on a cloud, was received out of their sight. And so he let them know to go back to the city of Jerusalem and wait until they be endued with power from on high. And that same power that they received, we receive.
That's right.
When we receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So that's what we used to sing that song, "Ye shall receive when the Holy Ghost come." But the scripture says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth."
Mm-hmm.
We're getting into the uttermost parts of the earth
Amen.
Now.
Amen.
This gospel has been preached. And that Peter said this, you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
Amen.
We were the ones that were far off. You know, and the Apostle Paul said, Lord, let him know he's going to send him far hence unto the Gentiles. So next week we're going to pick it up. We thank you for listening to Truth Ministry, and we hope that this broadcast has been a blessing unto you. And we thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.